This is Romina with another Prosor.com weekly podcast. I figured most of you would like to get some tips on how to succeed in your profession. Well, guess what? This week I had the chance to interview Prosor.com member Corinne McKay to talk about the new edition of her book, How to Succeed as a Freelance Translator. Corinne is a certified French into English translator specializing in law, international development, and non-fiction books. She's also the author of the Thoughts on Translation blog, which features interesting news and articles for translators. Here's the interview. Hi, Corinne. Thank you so much for making the time to speak with me. My first question for you is, what inspired you to write the book, How to Succeed as a Freelance Translator, and who is the book for?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you today. I would say I released the first edition of How to Succeed as a Freelance Translator in 2006, so about 5 years ago. And at that point, I had only been freelancing for about 4 years myself, I guess. And during my first year as a freelancer, I had a master's degree in French already, but I started with pretty much no contacts in the translation industry and pretty minimal experience, but I knew that I could do the job. I just didn't know how to go about the business aspect of it. So I literally opened up the Yellow Pages, if you remember the Yellow Pages, right. To translation companies, and I started cold calling translation companies in Colorado where I live. And now that isn't how I would advise anybody to start, but that's how I started because I didn't know any better. Right. And so during that first year in business, I sent out about 400 resumes to translation companies. And mostly after I had finally gotten my business to the point where it was replacing the income from my previous full-time job, I sort of thought I could help other people avoid that kind of pain. Because really, maybe I'm not sure if it was that I just didn't know where to look, but I couldn't really find a good source of information on how to run a freelance business. There's a lot of really good information out there on how to translate. And now there are a lot of other great books on running a business as a freelancer. But back then, there weren't.
Right.
And so I'd say that the book is mostly for beginning translators, people who already have a good language background, but not much translation experience. But there's definitely some stuff in there for experienced people as well.
Right. And one interesting concept in your book is that freelance translation is not for everybody. And that before launching into the freelance translation business, one should ask oneself some questions. Could you elaborate on this concept?
Yeah, sure. I think that, and I always talk from the U.S. perspective because that's where I live. And in the U.S., at least, being self-employed, working for yourself, it requires a lot more paperwork and record keeping than if you have a job working for somebody else. And it's also, in a way, more expensive because you pay double taxes on some portion of your taxes. You pay as if you're both the employer and the employee. So you have to be pretty motivated from that point of view. And I think, too, there are a lot of people who are excellent translators, but they just don't work well on their own, or they can't market themselves, or they don't market themselves, or they don't deal well with clients and things like that. So I think for everybody, it's really important to ask yourself some things like, can I meet deadlines when I'm on my own schedule and there's no boss telling me what to do? You know, am I somebody who constantly tries to overachieve and do better than what people expect, or do I just sort of do the minimum that I can to get by? Otherwise, you know, I've heard a lot of people who tried to make a career as a freelancer and couldn't do it, who said, you know, when I was a freelancer, my house was really clean, but I had no money.
Right.
Because I think, especially when you work from home, it's really easy to get, you know, attracted into doing other things than working. And you have to sort of, I think even for those of us who are experienced, a lot of people would say it is hard to strike that balance between freedom and productivity. And so I think that's something that's important to think about before you start freelancing.
Yes, that's a great advice. Another interesting idea you explain in your book is that translators cannot accept any job, as building a good reputation takes time and one poorly done project can spoil that reputation in no time. Which are some of the questions translators should ask themselves before accepting a new job?
Yeah, that's really important because I think especially when you're just starting out, it's really, really hard to resist the temptation to just take every job that you get offered because you really want the money and you really want the client. But I would say here are a few questions I came up with. Most important, are you comfortable with the subject matter? I think a majority probably of translation disasters come or happen because the translator is just not competent to translate in that subject area. So that I think is the most important. Can you meet the deadline? You know, I think a lot of translators who work with agencies are under a lot of pressure to translate faster and to produce more words in a day. So I think you want to be realistic about, you know, can you give the client the quality of translation you want to give them in the time frame that they have? Do you think that the client will pay you? That's really important.
Right.
So I think it's super important to have a membership to something like Payment Practices or the Pros Blue Board so that you can check. I know when I work for agencies, I check every single agency before I work with them to see what other translators have to say about them. And then also, is the rate profitable for you? Or would you be better off using that time to market yourself to better paying clients? And I think too, it's important to remember, especially with agency clients, if you turn them down one time, they undoubtedly are going to call you again. If you just say, you know, I'm really flattered that you called me. I would love to work with your agency, but this document is just not something that is in my specializations, I think they will appreciate that and they'll be, in fact, more likely to call you again.
Right. And tell me, a new edition of your book is now available. Which are, in your opinion, the reasons for the book's success?
Well, the first edition of the book sold about 4,500 copies.
Wow.
And my husband, who was, you know, one of the people who most encouraged me when I started freelancing, said, it proves either you wrote a good book or it's easy to get someone who wants to become a translator to pay $20
right.
for a book that might help them. So I don't know. I'd like to think it's because the book is helpful. But
yes.
I'd say... the things that I think, I guess, are appealing about the book are it's very low on theory and it's very high on practical advice. I don't talk a lot about business theory or translation theory. I talk about, you know, here are the steps that you need to follow if you want to launch your freelance business. And in fact, in the second edition, there's even a whole chapter called Your First Year as a Freelancer that sort of lays out here's what you should do in order. And I think also, you know, the thing I always tell people in the book and when I give talks in person is, you know, if I can do it, you can do it.
Right.
You know, I think it's when you see people, when you hear people give freelance advice who started out with a lot of things that that you feel like you didn't have. They have a lot of contacts in the industry, or they had had an in-house translation job for a long time, or they had a degree in translation, that I think... you know, then it can sometimes be a little more intimidating because you feel like, well, how am I going to make it as a freelancer because I don't have the, you know, contacts or the experience that that person has. But I think the idea that I try to sort of put across is, you know, if I think of myself on the first day sitting at my kitchen table with my baby and the yellow pages,
right.
You know, if I can do it, you can do it.
Right. Yes, I think that the book is really useful and really approachable. I mean, it's.
Thanks.
And one more thing, which aspect of running your own translation business do you find more difficult yourself?
That's a great question because I think, you know, one thing that I've learned now that I'm friends with a lot of very successful translators is that whatever level you're at in the industry, we all struggle with the same issues. You know, I talk to translators who make 40 cents a word who still say, you know, there's this business that I know would be a great client for me, but I just can't get an in with them. You know, I can't figure out how to introduce myself to them or what kind of conference I could meet them at or how best to contact them. So I think first I would say, you know, when you're a beginner, it's easy to be intimidated by people who are more successful than you, but we're all struggling with the same dilemmas.
Right.
And so I'd say for myself, now I do about 50% translation and about 50% teaching and consulting for other translators. And each of those has its own challenges. For myself, I think my big challenge with translation is that there's almost no local market. for the kind of translation I do. I translate French to English, and I live in Colorado, which has almost no French-speaking population. I don't live in a major city, and most of my clients, in any case, are not here. They're either on the East Coast of the U.S. or they're in Europe, and I think it's also a real challenge when you live in your target language country. For example, for me, the European business culture is very relationship-based. And I'm not there to develop those relationships. And so that, I think, makes marketing my translation services a lot harder than it would be if I lived in, you know, Belgium.
Right.
And as far as the teaching and consulting aspect, I think for me, the big challenge is that there, you could always do more marketing. You know, when you write a book, you're never going to say to yourself, like, okay, I've contacted every single person who would possibly be interested in this book. But you're always thinking, you know, well, I could send out emails to more associations and see if they want to, you know, buy my book wholesale. I could do more interviews like this. I could write more blog posts. I could, you know, contribute more to translation forums. And so I think you sort of, you know, you have that always kind of hanging over your head that you could always be doing more to sort of sell your consulting and training services. So, but I just think the main thing I would say is for beginners, you know, no matter where you are in the industry, we all deal with the same challenges. And so don't be discouraged by thinking, you know, it's just you and you're the only one who feels that way, because you're not.
Oh, that's really great advice. Thanks again for your time, Corinne. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Oh, thank you. It was great to talk to you as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's all for this week. You can reach me at romina@prosocom or via Twitter @proscom. Remember that Prosocom mid-year membership campaign ends on the 6th of July, so if you haven't joined or renewed your membership, hurry. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for next week's podcast. Later.